Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24. Proverbs, chapter number 24. We're continuing tonight with our mini-series from Proverbs as part of a longer-running series on Proverbs called Themes in Proverbs, and this is the latest theme that we have been studying together. It's a theme and series contrasting laziness and diligence, and the title of it is Slothful or Successful. In the series, we're learning there's basically those two choices. One of those two choices that we can adopt as we approach our work and personal responsibilities. We can either be lazy, which generally leads to failure, or we can be diligent, which generally leads to success. This is both a practical issue, it is also a spiritual issue, because laziness is a sin. As we indulge the flesh and its sinful desire for excessive ease and sleep and so forth. And so as we get back into the series here tonight, last time I broke off right in the middle of my message, and so I'm going to finish it up tonight, but let me just review with you what we have learned so far. So in part one, we studied the sorry symptoms of the sluggard. These are the symptoms of slothfulness that the Bible gives us a picture of in the book of Proverbs. Not a very flattering picture, almost a ridiculous picture, but the sluggard, the slothful person, is characterized by, first of all, a lack of initiative, a desire to avoid work and not get busy and up and doing when they should, not being a self-starter, self-motivated, and so on. Secondly, there is a lateness in discharging duties. Not punctual, running behind, running late. You can't count on this person to get the job done in good time. Third, there is a love of sleep, a desire to stay in bed when it's time to be up and busy about the day. Obviously, we all need sleep, but we also need to know when it's time to stop sleeping. That's a part of good character, good habits. The slothful person, though, is trying to stay in bed too long. There's also the characteristic of lots of excuses, making excuses specifically about why I should not have to work hard, why there's any number of reasons why I should be able to avoid doing my work or tending to my personal responsibilities. And then finally, there is a loathing for work, a real dislike, an antipathy for hard work, so much so that this person would rather suffer poverty and loss and all of deprivation than go out and take care of themselves and tend to their own needs or the needs of their family. So those are the characteristic behaviors of slothfulness, and those behaviors the Bible describes will lead to several characteristic outcomes. We find those outcomes described in Proverbs. That's where we were last time. Last time we started into part two, the sorry situation of the sluggard. And in this message, we are looking at what Proverbs has to say about these characteristic outcomes of slothfulness. If you indulge the sin of slothfulness, if you adopt the portrait of the sluggard, and that is you, then here is where you can expect to go. As you head down that road of life, these are the results. These are the outcomes that you can expect. Last time we talked about the first three. Let me just review them with you. First of all, there is lost time and opportunities. If you indulge that sin of sloth and allow your flesh and your desire in the flesh for excessive ease and comfort to dictate your schedule, you will lose precious time that can never be regained, and also you'll lose out on opportunities that won't come your way again because they passed you by. A lazy life is a wasted life. First of all, lost time and opportunity. Secondly, lost income and resources. Take a look at Proverbs 24. Let's read this description again, beginning at verse number 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. The writer of Proverbs says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He describes this picture of this farm that is falling into ruins because the owner is slothful, is lazy, and won't get up and take care of his own property. And so if you lie around lazily when you should be out tending to your affairs and working hard to earn a living, poverty, the Bible says, is going to show up at your front door like undesired and unexpected company. It's going to be there before you know it, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. Want, which is another word for poverty, deprivation. It is going to mug you like an armed bandit in a dark alley. It's going to run your life. You will become a victim of your own laziness. So lost income and resources. And then number three is little to live on. And we looked at several verses last time that talk about the fact that a lazy person will be a hungry person. A lazy person is going to go without the basic essentials of life. Those are the three points we discussed now, but let's go on to point number four tonight, the new material, points four, five, and six. And I think that point number four is really one of the saddest outcomes of all. Longings that cannot be fulfilled. The sorry situation of the sluggard is that he will have to deal in his life with longings that cannot be fulfilled. Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Very sadly, if we waste our time and resources and opportunities long enough, we will also waste our dreams. There are a few things in life that are more sad than the death of a dream. But that happens. But how sad to desire and have nothing. Oh, the desire is there, but it cannot be fulfilled. It is a sad situation to have a dream, but have no means or possibility of achieving that dream. And why? Because you allowed the opportunity to fulfill that desire to slip away through your own laziness or procrastination. When the opportunity was there and you had the chance to make something of yourself that would have allowed you to progress toward fulfilling that dream or that desire, you didn't follow that goal. You didn't take the steps, the appropriate concrete steps to make the most of that opportunity, and you waited too long until it passed you by, never to come again. So let me just make an application here, if I may. Let me just say, I guess I'm speaking to the young people here primarily, but not just to the young people, but if God plants a desire for full-time ministry in your heart when you are young or at any other time, you should waste no time diligently preparing yourself for service. Because if you put off God's call, if you allow some other desires to get in the way and at least temporarily eclipse your desire to serve the Lord, you may waste the best years of your life doing something other than what God intended for you in His perfect will. And you'll also probably find it much more difficult, if not impossible, to enter full-time ministry later on when your life is half over, because the best years for training and preparation have already passed you by. I've heard more than one story about how God called a young person to preach or go to the mission field in their youth, but then how they lost that chance because they went down some other path of their own choosing, only years later, maybe decades later, to regret that decision in the end and to wish, oh, that I had the opportunity to go back and do it God's way and to fulfill that desire that God initially planted in my heart, but I allowed to be tabled. I allowed it to be pushed over here to the side as I pursued other self-centered goals and desires in my life. You don't want to get to the end of your life and have regrets about the fact that you did not follow through on a God-given desire to serve the Lord. We don't want to desire and have nothing. And so if God puts those desires for service and ministry in your heart, and I am talking specifically right now, I guess, about full-time vocational ministry, which is a special calling that requires special training and so forth. If God puts that desire in your heart, you need to pursue that and allow God to direct you into that direction. If that is His will for your life, pursue that with everything that you have. If God puts another desire in your heart, if He gives you other goals and you're encouraged in another direction, then again, make the most of the opportunities that God has given to you when you are young so that you won't have regrets later on. You know what? When you're young, you think about all the things that you plan to do one day. But I'll just tell you something. As you get older, your thinking starts to change. Eventually, you realize that your time on planet Earth is running short. You don't have as long as you originally thought you had, and some of the things that you always wanted to do probably aren't going to get done unless you really get busy about them, and there may be other dreams that you had that are never going to come to pass. And that's why the Bible says, Psalm 90, Moses, the man of God, said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Young person, do not waste the very best days of your youth by investing most of your energy just into having fun in the moment. And yes, it's great to have fun in the moment sometimes, okay? But life is not just about having fun in the moment. You should make those years count by investing them and diligently pursuing God's will for your life, His call upon your life, and preparing yourself to do His will. Don't just let the days of your youth pass you by so that someday in middle age you're having desires that cannot be fulfilled. The death of a dream. Longings that cannot be fulfilled. And then number five, loss of position or promotion. Loss of position or promotion. Another outcome of slothfulness. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. In short, the slothful will serve the diligent. The diligent are going to rise to the top. They're going to be in charge. They're going to be calling the shots. And the slothful will be the ones serving the diligent. So if you cultivate laziness in your life, you're going to watch other people being promoted ahead of you in your business or your workplace. You'll spend your life working for others instead of having others working for you. You may miss out on opportunities for advancement that will never come your way again. And remember what we learned last time. God wants His people to be examples of diligence and industry in the workplace. That is His will for believers. That is a part of our testimony. And God doesn't get any glory from the poor testimony of a slothful employee. So if somebody gives you a job to do, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's at church, the Bible says, do that job with all your might. Do it with all your heart. Do it as you're doing it to the Lord. Let me read you a passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it with heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. Don't do it to please people. Don't do eye service. Don't be a men pleaser. Don't work hard just when the boss happens to be looking your way and then slough off and get slothful when the boss looks some other way. But rather, work hard in your work, whatever it is. As the Scripture says, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Even in your secular job, in a secular work environment, if you do that work to the glory of God, you're serving the Lord Jesus, and He will reward you at the judgment seat. On the other hand, if you're lazy and slothful and you're not a good worker and you don't work with heart and you don't put all into it and you are just trying to work hard when the boss is around and all of that, then you very well may miss out. You may suffer loss of reward at the judgment seat. That same passage it goes on to say, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. He that hath done wrong shall receive for the wrong that he hath done. So there will be an accountability. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just your boss who's going to hold you accountable for your job performance in the workplace. The Lord is going to hold you accountable. Romans 12:11 says that we should not be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A Christian in the workplace should be a shining testimony of what it means to be a very diligent employee. I first started to learn a little bit about this issue when I got a summer job. It was back when I was in high school. I'd had a few other jobs, but the other jobs that I had were all working for Christian people. This is the first job that I had that was working for a secular company and working around other unbelievers. The name of the company was Product Development Corporation. What they did was basically they came to our town, and their job was to distribute phone books, okay? So they had these semi-truck loads of phone books that would come in, and they had to be unloaded, and they had to be loaded into people's cars who then went and delivered the phone books. And then they did phone surveys and things like that to find out, make sure that people actually got their phone books and that these people weren't just taking the phone books and then throwing them into the river somewhere and coming back and claiming their money. So that was the job, and I got a job with this company. I was super excited. I was, the first time in my life, I was making more than minimum wage. And there were a couple of friends of mine from our Christian school and our church, and we all got a job at this place at the same time. So there was about three or four of us there, friends, and we were working there, and it didn't take too long to realize that there was a difference between this group of young men and the other employees on the job. As a matter of fact, we were called the church boys. That's what they called us. But the interesting thing was that while we were unloading phone books, it's just amazing, they were always taking breaks, you know, smoke breaks and things like that. And there was I didn't know there was any other way to work than just to work hard until the job was done. And our employer appreciated the work. In fact, we had the opportunity to go in. We could go in, and we did some office work as well. We got to do some of the phone calling and surveys, and the other employees didn't get to do that. And so that was a situation, I think, where some young men had an opportunity to be a testimony of what it meant to be a good, hard worker in that work environment. And folks, that's what we should be doing. As believers, we should be the best and the most reliable employees our bosses have. And not out of pride, not out of any kind of a desire to get glory for ourselves, but rather just because we love the Lord. That's why we should do it that way. Practically speaking, this diligence and reliability will also usually put you on the fast track to promotion in the workplace, because most employers value employees that they can count on. It's a hard thing today to find reliable employees that you can really count on to be on time, to do a good job, not to steal, and all of those things. Most employers will appreciate that, and if you're diligent and you're reliable and you're a good testimony, that very well mean that you will be advanced in the workplace. But on the other hand, slothfulness will very likely rob you of possible promotion and position that you could have had you been more diligent. And so one of the outcomes of slothfulness in our lives can be a loss of promotion or position, because the slothful will serve the diligent. And then finally, number 6, lots of obstacles. Lots of obstacles. Proverbs 15:19 says, "The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." A lazy life will be a hard life. That may seem like it's the easy way to go, just to laze around and do nothing. But really, that's going to be the hard road, because you're going to face the challenges of life with little income, little resources, very few good options for how to proceed. And so it's going to seem like you're trying to push your way through a hedge of thorns. I think about that biblical description there. I think about a job I did a few years ago, two or three winters ago. I decided I wanted to extend my dog wire fencing, okay, underground wire fencing. I wanted to extend it all the way to the back of our property. That was going to require me to run wire through our draw, which is very thick and overgrown. In fact, it's almost impossible to get through in some places in the summer. I waited until the winter, when it's a little more easy to get through there. But I tell you what, I put on heavy clothes and all that, and I took my dog wire and I worked my way down through that draw, and I scratched and clawed as the thorn scratched and clawed back at me, and it was rough going. But you know what? Just a few yards over to my left, I have this nice path that goes through my draw. It's a nice grassy path. I had a couple culverts put in, you know, we first moved into the property, and kind of raised it up so it'd be out of the mud and all of that. That's really kind of what the second part of the verse describes. The way of the righteous is made plain. Literally, it's raised up like a causeway. All right, so the righteous are on this smooth and raised up path. They're walking in the will of God, and God's making it a plain. And how much better is it to walk on that kind of a raised pathway? I wish when I was running the dog wire, I could have been over there. But I couldn't be over there. I had to be over here. And in the same way, if you live a slothful and lazy life, you very well may be wishing that you could be walking on that raised pathway over there, but you won't be able to at that point. At that point, you may want to make something of your life, but you'll realize you've already dug yourself a pretty deep hole, and it's not going to be easy to get out of it. So as I said at the very beginning last time, the sad situation of the sluggard starts with wasted time and opportunities. And that's why we don't want to waste our time and opportunities in the first place, lest we find ourselves in these outcomes, including lots of obstacles in life to make any kind of meaningful forward progress. All right, so here they are again, the sorry situation, the sluggard, the six consequences of slothful sluggardliness in our lives. Probably not even a word, but it sounds good. Slothful sluggardliness, okay? First of all, lost time and opportunities. Secondly, lost income and resources. Third, little to live on. Four, longings that cannot be fulfilled. Five, loss of position or promotion. And six, lots of obstacles. But folks, as I close tonight, I want to remind you that the very worst kind of slothfulness is spiritual slothfulness. Because spiritual slothfulness results not just in wasted opportunities in this life, but also waste in the life to come. Wasted opportunities for eternity. I want to, for example, I want you to consider this verse, Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. Proverbs 29:18 says, "For where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now that first part of the verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to explain the word vision there is not talking about a five-year plan for ministry. That word refers literally to a vision like revelation from God. In other words, it is a word from the Lord. And so what the first part of the verse there says is that if people do not hear a divine message from God, where do we find the divine message from God? We find it right here in His Word, right? If people do not hear the Word of God, they will perish. And what is that talking about? That's talking about the fact that they are on a road that leads to eternal destruction in the lake of fire. You know, this morning I preached that first point of my message. We should be going. We need to be active in our witness. We should not be standing still in telling people about Jesus Christ because their time on earth is limited. The sand of God's mercy is running out for them. Life is over before you know it. But folks, if we are slothful about sharing the message of salvation with unsaved people, it may result in eternal loss for unbelievers. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You've heard that before. Would you just let that soak in a little bit tonight? What is the word from the Lord? What is the good word from God? I had a man ask me that one time that I was trying to witness to. What is the good word from the Lord today, preacher? Can I share a word with you? You say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear the word perish in that verse as well? What's that talking about? It's talking about perishing eternally in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But the good word from the Lord is that he gave us his only begotten Son. That's Christmas, okay? And that's what we're looking at here these next few weeks as we celebrate the gift of God to us. As the scripture says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Bible says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich and yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. That's grace. That's the gift of God. And that gift of salvation is available to all who will receive that word from God in repentance and faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for heaven. God has made a way of salvation possible. People do not have to perish. The second part of the verse says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's the description of the joyful Christian life. All right, keeping the law is everything that you see on this back wall here, okay? It's the whole process of internalizing the Word of God so that you treasure it in your heart and you live it in your life. It's a description of somebody who has genuine faith, a righteous person, born again by faith in Jesus Christ, lives that blessed life. That life is available to you tonight, my friend. If you've never been saved, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there are only two ways to live your life. You can either live it on a path that leads to destruction, or you can get on that path of God's blessings and His mercy and His grace, and you can enjoy a blessed, happy life by living for the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within you. But you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to receive that word from the Lord, that message, that good news message of salvation. But folks, as you think about this verse for a moment, just think about the sad consequences in this verse, the potential consequences of spiritual slothfulness. I mean, that we could have and should have brought people a word from the Lord, but we didn't, thereby allowing them to continue on a path that leads to perishing. There are many other possible consequences of spiritual slothfulness, so that's my last point for tonight, the even sorrier situation of the spiritual sluggard. First of all, the outcome of spiritual slothfulness, lost time and opportunities in service. If you're spiritually lazy, all right, if you're complacent, apathetic, and you're not motivated in your walk with God, you'll miss out on opportunities to serve the Lord that will never come your way again. All right? I mean, we have just a little bit of time in this world with which to serve our great Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to redeem the time as the scripture tells us to do. We have opportunities to serve the Lord, but you know what? The day will come, we'll realize our opportunities to serve the Lord are winding down, that we can't do what we used to do. As we lie upon our deathbed, we may realize that we had the last opportunity ever to be involved in serving Jesus Christ here on this earth. You only have one life to live for Jesus Christ. As the song says, only one life to offer. Take it, dear Lord, I pray. That should be the way we live our lives every single day. The second possible consequence of spiritual slothfulness is lost resources for God's work. If we're lazy, if we're spiritually slothful, we're not diligent about the things that God has entrusted to our care, we're not zealous with the stewardship He has placed in our hands, we will not have the resources that we could have and should have had to give to God's work and to give to those who have needs. One of the purposes that God wants us, why He wants us to work hard, is so that we will have extra to give to those who have needs. Spiritual slothfulness will result in lost resources to God's work. If we take an apathetic and a complacent attitude towards our stewardship of resources, opportunities that we had to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven will slip by, possibly never to come our way again. Number three, little spiritual nourishment to live on. As we learn, the slothful man won't have the basic necessities of life. He'll struggle to have food to feed himself with. In the same way, if you are slothful in your walk with God, I mean, you barely ever make time to open your Bible, to read His Word, you're going to be spiritually starving to death. Because what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And I am convinced that there are some spiritually malnourished Christians. And the reason is because they're not getting fed on a daily basis. Because they're not reading their Bibles. They're not spending time in prayer. They're not doing what John 15 says, abide in the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Lord Jesus can fill us up with His life, with His nutrients, with His nutrition, as a branch is attached to the vine, and that life-giving sap flows from the vine into the branch so that it can bring forth fruit. So a little spiritual nourishment to live on. That's a great way to be dry. That's a great way to be burned out in your service for Christ. It's a great way when you're just trying to run on the flesh. Eventually, you are headed for some kind of a crash. Because you can't give out and give out unless you're taking in. You have to be filled up so that you have something that can overflow from your life into the lives of others. That's how ministry is supposed to be done. That's how the Christian life is supposed to be lived. Number four, there'll be longings for missed blessings. If you take a lazy approach to your life of service for Jesus Christ, if you take a lazy approach to following God's will for your life, if you squander your time and your resources in spiritual slothfulness, there's going to come a time when you're going to have longings in your life. You'll look at others who are receiving good gifts from God and blessings, and you will miss out because your opportunities to avail yourself of those blessings have already slipped away. Number five, loss of rewards and responsibilities at the judgment seat. The judgment seat of Christ, as I already mentioned in the message earlier, is a place where we will give an account for our lives here on earth, including how we worked, even how we worked in the workplace, working for a secular boss, an unsaved employer. Even those situations we'll give an account for at the judgment seat. And the Lord Jesus Christ intends to reward His faithful servants, but there is also the possibility of loss of rewards through spiritual slothfulness. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to that one servant who buried his talent in the ground. He did nothing with what God had entrusted into his keeping. The Lord Jesus said he was a slothful and wicked servant. The judgment seat of Christ is also a time where the Lord Jesus will assign responsibilities in the kingdom to people based upon their stewardship here on earth. Did you know that? He makes that very clear. He says to the one servant, "Be thou over 10, 5 cities," or whatever number of cities. He says, if you're not faithful with earthly wealth and money and so forth, who's going to entrust to your care the true riches? Okay, so the Lord Jesus is conducting an evaluation of our reliability and stewardship here on this earth, and then He's going to entrust responsibility to us in the life to come based upon that at the judgment seat of Christ. It could be loss of opportunities and responsibilities to come. And finally, there'll be lots of obstacles to doing God's will. I mentioned that earlier in the message. It'd be difficult having strayed from, you know, there's always, it doesn't matter where you go away from the will of God, there's always a way back into the will of God. But the farther you get away from the will of God, the more difficult it is to get back into the will of God. And when you get back into the will of God, you may then be in His permissive will instead of His perfect will. You may miss out on the perfect plan. You can still be in God's will, but it's going to be a revised plan based upon some of the poor choices that you've made. There can be obstacles to doing God's will in the future because of spiritual slothfulness and laziness in the past. So, considering those things tonight, believer, let me ask you, what about you? Will you be spiritually slothful or successful in your approach to work and personal responsibility, your service for Jesus Christ? As we looked at the sorry situation of the sluggard, can you already begin to see some of those outcomes taking shape in your life? Is the situation of the sluggard looking like your situation? Believer, it doesn't have to be that way. Let's redeem the time as we have been exhorted in the Scripture. I read that to you this morning from Colossians chapter 4. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We're supposed to buy back the time. We're supposed to treat it like the precious commodity that it is and make it count both now and for eternity. Let's bow our heads. Tonight's invitation hymn is going to be number 610, Give of Your Best to the Master. I think that song really expresses well the way we should be living our lives as believers here on earth. You look at the Scripture, you'll see example after example of saints of God, righteous people who stood out from the crowd because they were diligent and they were zealous and they were serious about serving God. Pastor Nate preached a couple weeks ago about Daniel, for example, a young man who really stood out from the crowd because of the godly character that he had. And we should purpose, each one of us in our hearts, to be found diligent and zealous and faithful. I want to encourage you tonight, Christian. Would you ask the Holy Spirit tonight to reveal perhaps a place where you might be wasting something that you should be redeeming? Because the lazy life is a wasted life, we're not supposed to be wasting, we're supposed to be redeeming. Would you do business with the Lord about that tonight? Maybe God has called you to some kind of full-time ministry or service, and you know that God has made it clear to you that you are to devote yourself and your life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to be your vocational occupation. If so, I want to ask you, are you purposefully pursuing that call, or have you allowed that call to sort of slip by the wayside, fade out in your awareness as you have begun to refocus on more self-centered priorities? If that's the case, I want to encourage you to renew tonight your single-minded purpose towards serving the Lord Jesus Christ.